today will be in the New American Standard. But it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise." I wanted to update you on a couple of things. The last time that I gave a sermon, I gave my testimony, and I told you that I was not raised in a Christian home at all, you know, and then my senior year in high school. Well, I wanted to let you guys know that I did have the privilege later of leading both my mom and my dad to Christ, which was absolutely wonderful. And then also, Lisa and I had the privilege this morning with our grandson, and he accepted the Lord. So anyway, that's pretty cool. No, that's more than pretty cool. That's glorious. All right. So, you know, one of the reasons that people feel so little, you can go ahead and hit the slide. It's, what does God think of us? Okay, so one of the reasons why people sense little self-worth today is they don't understand what God thinks of them. Many people in our world, and I was one of these and sometimes still am, many people in the world determine their worth based on one of two things. Number one, our performance. You know, that can be our job. You know, it can, if it's an athlete, you know, that's what their self-worth is. I'm successful. I hold X amount of records. Or what others think of us. So I want to talk about a time in my life when I was basing my self-worth on my performance. I had a job that I felt like was beneath me. And I don't mean that in a, you know, thinking higher of myself, but I had gone from a job where I had a lot more responsibility and there were some changes in the company, and then I phased down. Well, when I was in that job, I had an opportunity for a promotion. And I thought, if I just get that promotion, everything's going to be okay. And I was living in Phoenix at the time. They flew me to Norfolk, Virginia for an interview. And I had to give a presentation. And it was on leadership. And I just happened, I'm not sure why I did it, but I picked Bear Bryant for leadership, who was a coach at Alabama for years and years and years and was legendary. Felt like I did absolutely wonderful on the interview. And somebody that knew information said, "You were the only person they flew in." You know, so what would you think? Hey, you know, I'm going to get this job. Well, I didn't get it. And I was devastated. Absolutely devastated. And I was in prayer about it. And I said, you know, Lord, I don't understand this. You know, because everything looked this way. And he said, well, what if 3 months after you got the job, They did away with the position. What would happen to your self-worth? Would it go down? Well, if that's what I was basing it on, and also I was basing it on what other people thought of me, you know, you could say, well, in the church, you could say, well, if I could only lead a small group, or if I could be an elder, that would make it, trust me, I'm not so sure that that's what you want to do. Just kidding, folks. But you can't base it on that. We have to talk about what God thinks of us. So anytime you're going to talk about what God thinks of us, you have to start with John 3:16. Can anybody say that? And we're going to be going through a lot of scriptures today, so a lot of cases we'll probably just read from there, because I won't even be able to keep up going through my Bible with all the scriptures. But anyway, why don't you guys say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God loves us. We all know that. And God's nature is love, and that's the Greek word agape. And his burden for us was so great that he gave his only Son for us. So what does God think about us? Well, we're God's children. Go to 2 Corinthians 6:18. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be the sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, we are also his children. Isn't that pretty cool to be one of God's children? You know, say this, you know, I have an earthly father, but I also have a heavenly father, and that's God, and he calls me his child. He created us. He shaped us. He knows us intimately. Go to Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are potter. And all of us are the work of your hand. Luke 12:7 says, indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. But do not fear, you're more valuable than many sparrows. Behold, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. So the very hairs of our heads are numbered. Well, my numbers are getting smaller. You know, and I notice that every time I take a shower. I went to the barber when I had a little more hair in the front, and he was showing me in the mirror, and there was this spot in the back, about like this. And I asked him, why did you shave that spot right there so that there's no hair? But, you know, it wasn't him. But God knows how many hairs are on your head. A lot of times you guys have been around me, you hear me pray, I say that, or I talk about that God cares more about us than we care for ourselves. And that he knows the hairs on our head. And it says, behold, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Better translation of that would be, I've tattooed you, your names. Can you imagine? I've got a tattoo that's on my calf. And the first question anybody ever asks whenever you get a tattoo, guess what it is? Did it hurt? Yeah, it hurts a little bit. And there's some of you out here with tattoos that know that. But that's how much God loves us and how intimate he is with us. He loves us. He provides for us. He freely gives to us. He loves to provide for our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual needs. And there's going to be several verses here. We already mentioned John 3:16, and 1 John 4:9 says, by this love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. So, you know, we're talking about that great love. Now let's talk about a father a little bit. Go to the next slide, please. Matthew 7:11, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? You guys that are parents, did it ever break your heart when you couldn't give something to your kids that they wanted? You know, I can remember Cabbage Patch kids, and I'm really dating myself. You know, we're talking early 80s. I went all over town looking for Cabbage Patch kids for days and days and days, because that was the only thing that my, I think she was 3 or 4 year old daughter wanted, was Cabbage Patch kids. And you know, we sat down and we prayed about it. And then the next day I got a phone call from my dad. He says, I found Cabbage Patch babies. He says, but it's twins. And I said, well, that's okay. He says, so I'm going to go ahead and send those. And I thought of, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, you know. And it happened. It got twins. And Nisa had a one-year-old brother, and when she opened them, she gave one to her brother, which I thought was pretty cool. Romans 8:32. He who do not spare for his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also him freely give us all things? James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. You guys get the point of how intimate God is with us and what he wants to do for us. Yeah. Psalms 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. This is about how God cares about us. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's 1 Peter 5:6-7, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Ralph mentioned earlier, are you anxious? And when it talks about casting your anxiety, it's not talking about casting like a fishing rod, because when you cast out with a fishing rod, what do? You reel it back in. So in this case, when you cast that anxiety, you don't reel it back in and get the anxiety more. And we can do that because why? He cares for us. And then Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ. Wow, that's pretty cool. Now we read Ephesians 1:3-13 earlier, and in that it tells us that God chose us. He's given us every spiritual blessing. We're holy. We're set apart. That's what that word holy means there. And blameless before him. We are redeemed. We're bought. We're paid for. We are forgiven. We've been freely given the riches of his grace. We've obtained our inheritance. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, if you think on these things, what do you think of your self-worth? Kind of makes you feel maybe a little more important. Now, I've got those verses listed, so we're going to skip past those since we read them earlier. And we're justified before God. And justified means just as if I never did it. We are. We're justified before God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 3:7 says, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're justified just as if I never did it. Now, we're talking about believers right now. We're not talking about unbelievers. Well, that's heavy to me. We're made righteous. We're made righteous. And righteousness is the ability to stand before God without any sense of sin, guilt, or shame. Romans 5:19, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one, the many will be made righteous. Because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, and he went and suffered on the cross for us, we're made righteous, and God loved us enough to have Jesus Christ do that. We are forgiven, no condemnation. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. And you guys know who wrote that part of Romans? Paul. Now, how in the world could Paul write, there's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ? You know, he might be sitting in a Bible study and say that to somebody, and it'd be like Randy coming up to me and saying, yeah, you say that, but you killed my brother. Or Paul coming up to me and saying, yeah, you say that, but you threw my brother in prison. You beat him. Paul understood that. And from all the bad things that Paul did in his life, after he met Jesus, he could say, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So I don't care what you've done, there's no condemnation to that. Now, there might be consequences, you know, from that, natural consequences, but you don't have to feel condemned, and you don't have to condemn yourself for those things. We've been given grace. 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. James 4:6, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And you know, a lot of people confuse the two words grace and mercy. Years ago, I had a conversation, and he was a priest, a Catholic priest, and he was using the words interchangeably. And I asked him, I said, well, which one do you mean? Do you mean grace or do you mean mercy? And he says, well, they mean the same thing, and they don't. And I think Greg even gave a definition of grace last week. Mine's a little bit different, a little bit simpler, because I guess I'm from Alabama, so I'm a little simple. Grace is when you get something you don't deserve. Did we deserve to be forgiven of our sins? No, because we sinned. But mercy is when you don't get something you do deserve. So, you know, God gives us grace and he gives us mercy. And I'm sure that there's many of us that can, you know, think of times when God had mercy on us, you know. And a lot of times we've had that grace. Now, don't misunderstand grace, because a lot of people go, well, then that just gives me a license to sin, right? Because God's going to forgive me. Well, yeah, if you want to, but you're going to miss out on a lot of things, and you're also going to suffer. Remember we talked about earlier consequences? Sometimes there's consequences for things that you do. So go to Galatians 5:13. Basically, you're called to freedom, but don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That is Galatians 5:13. Now, we talk about self-worth, and we talk about all these things that God's given us and more. So what happens when I sin? So there's two reactions you can have to it. So I'm just going to give an example, and it's kind of way out. But let's say that this morning when we were doing the offering, and I saw, I'll just use your name, don't take it personal, Randy. I saw Randy take a 20 out and put it in his pocket. All right? So I go to Randy and I say, Randy, I noticed today when we've taken up the offering that you took a 20 out of the bag and put it in your pocket. Now, Randy can react to that two ways. Actually, there's more than two ways, but I'm going to talk about two ways specifically. Number one, he could go, well, Steve, you're right. I shouldn't have taken it. I was wrong. I ask God for forgiveness. Now, chances are, there's a natural consequence that we're not going to let Randy take the offerings anymore. Okay? So that would be one. But what about his fellowship with God when he does that? And he says, I pray that you cleanse me. I repent from that action. I won't do that anymore. Well, then Randy's okay. His other reaction, he could be, well, yeah, I did that. I must really be a sorry human being. I have so many things in my life that just aren't right. I'm sure God doesn't love me anymore. I'm just a bad, bad person. Well, I don't think you're a bad person, Randy. But that's two ways you can react if you sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's what? Cleanses us from all, he cleanses us from all, forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So I have to tell you, I had a total other message prepared, and then on Wednesday, felt like the Lord told me to talk about this. So I think there's somebody here that needed to hear it. I needed to hear it while I was preparing it. So my grandson today, when he asked the Lord in his heart, and Paul talks about that, and any of you guys who have, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Creature. That's a new word. Creature. How's that? The old things passed away. Creature. I like that. I'm going to start using that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And listen, folks, we're loved. We're justified. What does justified mean? Just as if I never did it. We're sanctified. Sanctified means you're set apart. We're made righteous. Righteous means that we can stand before God without any sense of sin, guilt, or shame. It doesn't mean we don't need to pray and ask God to forgive our sins. And we don't. Doesn't mean we don't need to repent of our sin. But spiritually, that's what God sees. We're forgiven. We've been given grace. Once I started understanding that and believing that, I quit basing my worth on the job I had or what other people think of me. I mean, you know, I want people to like me. It doesn't mean that I go across the world all brush and, you know, I just don't care what you think. You know, that's not what it means at all. And at my job, sometimes because of my hearing or lack of hearing, you know, people would speak to me and I wouldn't answer and they'd think I was rude. You know, and I had people come up and I say, well, I am so, so sorry. And if that's happened with any of you guys, I'm so, so sorry. Not something purposely. And speaking of hearing, my cochlear implant gets activated tomorrow. So that's going to be a chore. It's not going to be like all of a sudden here perfectly. But I'm just so glad that that journey is on its way. So if you guys will come up for the music, or if it's just you. I think Melissa's coming. While we're singing, if you'd like prayer, if you haven't made the decision to follow Christ or ask Christ into your life, or if you feel like that you need to get closer to, and there's people around that can pray with you. We've got elders, the people you came with, or if you'd like to come down front and pray, feel free to do that.